BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock
God. Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best New Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Andy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant.
It's totally not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And it's whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
The future is bulletproof. The aftermath is secondary. It's time to do it now and do it loud. Killjoys, make some noise.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are, of course, brought to you by MemLanePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs. They've got some really cool WWE stuff, TNA stuff, and just sports memorabilia in general. So remember, MemLanePromo.com. And stay tuned because they are going to be a part of our WrestleMania Pick'em Challenge. They are providing us a prize for that. So stay tuned in the coming week because next week is WrestleMania Week, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And, of course, you're also listening to us on RackRadioShow.com, hopefully, and TNAAsylum.com, hopefully.
Yes.
So, hi, everybody. So, I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, as always. Joining me is my awesome producer, Sorokin.
That is me. The one, the only, the producer, the man who does just about everything on this network. Yes. Hi, everybody. What's going on?
So yes, we have a very, very, very semi-stacked show for you tonight. We have a lot of news. We have a lot of stuff to get into Impact, but we also have a Trish Stratus.
We do have a Trish Stratus. Earlier this week, one Lindsay Ward got to sit down with one Trish Stratus for some girl talk.
Which was awesome. I'm still, like, over the moon over it, but we're going to have Trish a little bit later. We're also going to be talking to Canadian All-Pros CEO. I guess that's his title now.
I think that's what it is.
The one and only Tim Stein, because we all get by with a little help from our friends. So we're going to be helping him pimp his stuff later in the show as well. But before we get to all of that, we have our question of the night.
Our question of the night is very simple. What is your favorite WrestleMania set?
Just tell me we got a lot of answers for this.
We have a few answers. Yes, we will get through them on the Facebook, so you can give us your answers in our chat room at wildtalkradio.com. Just click on the chat button if you're not in there. You can tweet them at wildtalkradio if you're listening elsewhere. So, yes.
So yes.
Your thoughts.
But I say now we talk to a little news, which is brought to you by pwmania.com, our fine friends over there. And I guess the first thing we have to talk about is, well, Robbie E is going to be staying a little bit longer in TNA.
One more year of the sweaters, bro.
Actually, I'm kind of hoping the sweaters go away because now he and the other Robbie broke up. That, you know, he kind of sort of transitions into something else.
No,
because I really do want to find that closet so I can destroy those sweaters, but I really want him to stop giving me reason to go find it.
I'm going to probably, you know, break your heart, I think the sweaters are staying for a little bit while longer. I'm sorry, it's... Yeah.
Fail. fail. But yay that he's staying, so hopefully they will... They're going to move him on. And we haven't seen him in a couple weeks, so that could probably be due to the contract situation. I don't know. But hopefully he will be back on TV soon.
No, it's because Robbie T beat the holy hell out of him 2 weeks ago.
This is true, too. But this is wrestling. He can bounce right back. Come on, dude.
Come on, bro.
Let's go. Come on, bro. Let's do it.
One more bro. Let's have a bro off, bro. 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 Bro.
He can be super bro.
So now he's going to have a sweater with a big S on his chest.
Why? Why not? Hernandez has a Superman thing tattooed on his chest.
He should get, you know, like a Christmas sweater that has the word bro on it.
Dude, it should light up.
A light up sweater. Alright, this gotta happen now. Come on, that's the only way we can stand the sweaters. Light it up, bro.
If we're not gonna get our damn championship suspenders, at least let us get the sweater. Or the light up sweater. That would make it somewhat... tolerable.
It'd be that more amusing. Let's put it that way.
Just, you know, get one of those little LED signs and just, like, strap it to his chest. And then, like, that way he can say different things.
Ah, I like that. But I think he wouldn't want to put it on his chest. I would think he'd put it a little lower, maybe, on a belt buckle.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. I don't want to be looking down there. Just, like, most of the time I can't get past his hair just because it's, like, solid. Like, this solid mass of hair. Like, I don't even think it's real. I swear to God, it's made out of plastic. I saw a picture of him and I was like, who the crap is that? Because he didn't have his hair plastered up. It was, like, just down. Mm-hmm. Just, like, regular how it looks normally. And I was like, who the crap is... Oh, wait, I know who that is. Like, it's weird. We ever interview him, I want to know how much shampoo it takes him to get all that hair gel and crap out of his hair.
We will have to remember that if we ever get Robbie E. on this show. Bro.
Yes, and if anybody knows the answer to that question, please let us know, because I'm convinced it's at least a half a bottle per shot, but I could be wrong. Anyway, because I really have no transition for this, Tara and Jesse are going to be on a TV show.
Are they now?
They are. They've signed on to do a pilot, though the name escapes me.
Tainted Dreams.
Tainted Dreams. Mm. And this is a reality series, correct?
It's a scripted soap opera, which is going to be about the behind the scenes of doing a soap opera.
That could be interesting.
Yes. A number of actors with actual soap opera experience are attached to the show, which doesn't have distribution yet, but it's good for Jesse Goddard and Tara, who is a big fan of Matt Goldberg's Crash Collision Wrestling on YouTube. Check it out.
She is. Yes, go to YouTube. Check out Crash Collision Wrestling, which, by the way, Matt, that's really hard to say. Just pointing Matt out.
There's your plug, Matt. Hope you like that one.
Took me 6 takes to do that commercial, and I'm so sorry it didn't get done right.
We'll get it set up next week. Yes, but good on them for signing on to the cast. It's going to be interesting. Because it's like a reality show, but it's scripted, and I like that sort of thing, because I like the show... Studio 60, that was like the behind the scenes of like Saturday Night Live. I like this sort of thing. Even though I'm not a soap opera person, behind the scenes stuff, I like.
I would be curious to see if it's like a soap opera, or if it's like a comedy of a soap opera, which could be really, really, really good. If they're like kind of mocking soap operas a little bit, because let's face it, they're kind of a dying art form. There aren't that many left. Like, I'm seriously surprised The Young and the Restless are still on. Right. So it's... Although, what they would put after The Price is Right, I have no idea. Because it's like, The Price is... I remember growing up, it was The Price is Right, The News, and then The Young and the Restless would start, and then that's when I would go take a nap.
Now they got all these talk shows as well that fill in the gaps.
Yes, we do. And we don't need any more talk shows. So if it's like more comedy, I'm totally for it. If it's like soap opera of soap opera of soap opera, I would be curious to see it.
Yeah, I'm interested. I want to actually see what... I'll at least tune in for the first episode if it ever makes it to air. It should be interesting.
Yeah, somebody pick it up. And Matt said, well, Tara said Crash Collision Wrestling. It took her a few tries. So yes! Yes! We're not alone! I'm not alone! Yes! I don't feel bad now.
The outtakes are priceless. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, the outtakes are priceless. The number of F-bombs that got dropped when we recorded that is astounding. I'm pretty sure there's still a cloud hanging over Ogden, Utah somewhere. And again, speaking of clouds and hanging over things, this one's black. Hopefully it's not permanent. But spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear what happened... This has to relate to SmackDown. We did check the spoilers. If you don't want to hear it, plug your ears now. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Big Johnny is back.
People Power is back, baby.
He appeared on SmackDown, and he does have a promo with The Rock. We are not going to tell you what was said because, well, we didn't read that far. I just saw the pictures. And so we'll probably cover that on Sunday night on WTR. But yes, Big Johnny is back in some capacity. He has recovered from his injury, and now he's returned.
Hello, our chat room. If you're not in our chat room tonight, it's tremendous. So please go to WildTalkRadio.com.
Yes. You're not in our chat room. Come over to WildTalkRadio.com and click on the chat button, not the live button because it doesn't exist anymore, the chat button, and come in our chat room because yes. And well, Matt, I'm so terribly sorry. I warned you. All you have to do is take out your headphones, dude.
Anyway.
You speakers or whatever, but anyway.
Anyway, Big Blank is back on SmackDown.
Yes, Big Bleep is back. Well, then mute your speakers.
Anyway, moving on from Jen and Lauren, I was a little bit.
Yeah, we're just, I'm sorry, I know it's not a big deal, but we're just having way the hell too much fun. Anyway,
moving on a little bit. This one's a little serious note. We talked a few weeks ago how Extreme Rising was trying to get funding for a television show.
Yes.
That did not go as planned. Well, things have taken a little turn for the worse because of low ticket sales. Extreme Rising has had to cancel its three big shows for WrestleMania weekend, which is leaving a lot of talent without some work. And it's causing the asking the question, is this the end for Extreme Rising? Personally, I think it is.
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't want to call it right now just because I know what they're trying to do and I can appreciate it. But at the same time, if you have to cancel your shows due to lack of ticket sales, that means that there's probably not an interest. But to be fair to them, they were holding it over WrestleMania weekend, and everybody and their brother is throwing some kind of wrestling-related event WrestleMania weekend. They always do.
And here's,
so markets...
Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So the market is probably extremely oversaturated right now. I would be surprised if anybody other than the WWE has excessively high ticket sales for an event, just because I imagine not a lot of people are buying.
Their biggest problem is they were doing a show here in Philly, and then they were going out to Staten Island, which... If you know this northeast area, they're far apart from where, you know, WrestleMania is happening. So all the fans are in one area, and they're sending fans everywhere but. So that's, you know, didn't help cause. Extreme Rising is the promotion. The promotion by Shane Douglas.
Yes, the promotion by Shane Douglas. They've run a couple times. It's... Okay.
It's Frank. I know someone who's gone to these shows. They call it the ECW show. And that's what it is. So, but yeah, the way they can rebound is by getting a TV deal and a local TV deal, and that's not sort of in the plan. So, seems like things are not rising for Extreme Rising.
Yes, it looks like they're sinking, but we'll see. I mean, it depends on all. It all kind of depends on if they run after Mania.
Right.
I mean, I would bet Douglas wants to give it one more try just because he still wanted to go ahead with the low ticket sales. By the way, that's not the smartest of business plans, dude. And so I would be curious to see if he doesn't try to run one more time in a less saturated market.
Right. So when one thing is reaching its final end, something has to be born out of that, right?
Nice transition.
Yes, I know. Thank you. Madison Rain is expecting a child, Lindsay.
Yes, congratulations to her and her husband. It's a little girl, I believe, too, isn't it?
Yes, they're expecting a baby girl in the next few months, I believe. She announced she was pregnant, I believe, a week or so ago.
Yes, so definitely good for her. Congratulations to them. Very happy to hear it, but that's obviously why we have not seen her on TV. Why she wasn't a part of the Knockouts pay-per-view was because, well, she's expecting a little bundle of joy.
She was at the Knockouts pay-per-view. She is involving in crowning the Knockout winner.
Oh, she was there. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I didn't see that in spoilers. My mistake.
Yeah, she is involved, but not physically.
Yes, that's why she's not wrestling.
Yes, that's a better plus way, but she's not wrestling.
But good. At least she will be there. At least we'll get to see her. But yes, she's not wrestling, obviously, because she's expecting a bundle of joy. So, yay for that.
Congratulations to Madison Rain.
And her husband, because he helped.
Yes, the husband did help, yes.
You know, it does take two people to make a baby.
It does. It does. It takes more than one person, yes. Yes, it takes two people. By the way, coming up in just a few minutes, Trish Stratus right here. WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, on the rack. Anyway, continue.
Yes. And later in the show, Tim Staton.
Yay!
And last but certainly not least, yes, we're going to switch from WWE to TNA, TNA to WWE again because we cover it all. There have been a lot of creative shakeups in WWE. We've seen Eric Pankowski leave. There were stories that broke about how they're not really looking to hire or have a head writer, so to speak, in charge of everybody. They're more looking to have multiple head writers in charge of multiple shows. And the most interesting development yet has to be WWE is looking to hire a writer to specifically handle the Hispanic market.
Yes, they're looking for someone who knows how to write Hispanic telenovela. And, you know, used to developing scripts for Hispanic crowds specifically. They see the problem with having Del Rio. So he's from Mexico, but he's born and he talks about the U.S. is the greatest country, but he's from Mexico and he was made in the USA. They want to get everything straight because there's been a lot of backlash in regards to the Del Rio character.
Yes, I think we've all said it, we've all seen it, Del Rio's character is just not clicking. Meanwhile, Ricardo Rodriguez is over like a mother. But yeah, there's a lot of doubt right now on Rey Mysterio as well as whether he's going to be able to continue a lot longer just because he's got so many injuries. He's out again with a torn ACL, but he's not going to need surgery, so they're hoping to maybe have him back by Mania, but they don't know if he's going to be working.
June is the next, is the reported target for Mr. Mysterio.
Okay, so don't expect to see Mysterio before June. They're looking for that.
Though he will be at the Access. I'm just going to clarify. For who's going to WrestleMania, he will be at Access.
Yes, he's doing signings, but he's not wrestling till June. So right. Don't expect to see him on TV, potentially till June. But yeah, and they're hurting for a top Latin babyface, and that's really what they want, is that top guy to attract that market, and Rey Mysterio was the guy, and now they're trying to do it with Del Rio, and they can't do it, and Sin Cara is, well, Sin Cara. So that's the nice way of saying it. Sin Cara is Sin Cara. So yeah, they're trying to do it, and if they can succeed in doing this, if they do get a guy and it works out for him, great. If it doesn't, well, it's another one that you can chalk up to a failure. I mean, they need to do something. They need to make Del Rio more appealing, or they just need to drop Del Rio and push the hell out of Ricardo. because technically Ricardo is their top Latin babyface right now. They just won't admit it.
Yeah.
And actually, technically, they should put him in the ring, because if you watch his matches in NXT, he can go.
Yeah, El Ocal is his mask name character on television.
And they actually had him wrestle Sin Cara on TV once as El Ocal, didn't they?
I believe so. It might have been,
I think it was like main event or something.
It might have been Saturday Morning Slam, I think.
Yeah, it was one of the B shows that they did it on, but they did have Ricardo wrestle as El Ocal against Sin Cara, and it was an absolutely incredible match. He can work WWE style, but he can also work the more indie style for Luchador, I should say. Sorry, I got distracted. There's a guy on TV that looks like Heath Slater, and he's talking to two hot chicks, and I was like, what? So anyway, sorry. He can work the more indie Luchador style. And he meshed really well with Sin Cara, and they looked really good together. So it was like, oh, well, you know, that would be awesome if they let Ricardo wrestle.
Yes, it would be. But sadly, they're not. They want to keep him out of the ring.
They do. For now.
For now. A couple other news, little news tidbits that broke today, Lindsay. First, Maria Menounos is officially going to be the one inducting Bob Backlund into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Not Maria Kanellis?
Not Maria Kanellis, like some sheets reported. No, it's Maria Menounos. She announced it on Live with Michael and with Kelly and Michael today that she will be inducting Mr. Bob Backlund into the Hall of Fame. And yes, she has a horrible laugh. It's horrible. But it makes her stand out. And the other news tidbit is Diddy. Sean Diddy Combs will be performing at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's my reaction to it. Just dead air.
And Lindsay, I got other breaking news for you.
What?
On the London tour for SmackDown.
Yes, I know. I already heard.
The Undertaker is wrestling.
I woke up to that this morning. Thank you very much. I knew that.
I figured you did. But I figured we mentioned it on the show as well.
So, but yes, that is an interesting thing to talk about, and we may get into that if we have extra time tonight. But yeah, so Taker isn't just working Mania.
Neither is The Rock, Brock Lesnar, Jericho.
Yeah, they're going to get some extended time out of these guys, so I wonder what that means. Yeah, we're going to have to ponder that, but right now I think we're going to throw it to break, because when we come back, we're going to have a little girl time with Trish Stratus, and we're going to get to hear what she thinks about, well, the Divas, and a whole bunch of other stuff, including her Hall of Fame induction, because that's what we actually talked to her about, but she talks about the Divas, and it's kind of interesting, so stay tuned. You're listening to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. To change that part. To change that part. To change.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
We'll be right back. every Monday night. Get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns.
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara, the one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widow Peak, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
I don't care what y'all say.
Oh, it's time to rock and roll. Oh.
Alright everybody, welcome back to The Rack right here on WildFuckRadio.com. As promised, I have joining me one of my favorite ladies in wrestling, Miss Trish Stratus. How are you doing today?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm so excited to be talking to you because it's like, yay, I get to have girl time. Yay!
It is one of my favorites as well.
So, I have to ask, you know, because I was absolutely thrilled when I heard you were going into the Hall of Fame. You know, how are you feeling about it? I guess that's the most obvious question.
I'm super excited. Oh my gosh, it was, you know, I mean, the call was like, oh my God, seriously? That's kind of my first reaction. But no, I mean, I'm absolutely honored. I keep saying this, but I keep that, like, you know, I'm like, well, it feels like a little bit too soon. But then I realized I have been retired for 7 years. I don't know. I think I have such an active role in the company at this moment that I don't feel like I've been away from it from that long, you know. And but I'm thrilled. I'm very honored. And when I heard the, you know, the class this year, it's just like, wow, I'm just blown away. And as a fan, I'm absolutely like, you know, I'm tickled. I think it's just amazing. So I'm really looking forward to that weekend.
I was going to say, that's got to be awesome, you know, as far as going in with like Bruno Sammartino and Mick Foley and all those names, it's like, wow, that's really cool. This year seems like it's going to be a really exciting class.
It's pretty epic, you know. It's kind of like, oh my gosh, you know. I know usually these events go about 3 hours long, so it'll be interesting to see, like, okay, better get that speech nice and tight because there's going to be some stories told that night for sure.
Yeah. Have you got it? I guess you don't have it ready yet. You're still kind of working on it.
I've got my notes jotted down. I think I think over the years, there's a clear, distinct list for me of people that have really impacted my career. And so what's going to be interesting is sort of now fine-tuning it to make it in a short speech and making sure I don't leave out people. And that's always a big fear is you think, oh, God, did I not mention them? Or do I mention them? Or will I have time to mention them? So, you know, this is kind of like, you know, it's kind of like at the Oscars of the wrestling world, right? So you always hear how, you know, celebs talk about that moment. And I'm kind of going through the same thing. So I just want to make sure that, you know, everybody knows how appreciative I am of the help I've gotten along the way, and it's a big moment. I'm excited about it.
Well, I kind of have to ask the dorky question. You know, you mentioned it is the Oscars for wrestling. Have you picked out your dress yet? Do you know what you're going to wear? Can you kind of give us a hint?
lots of sparkles. I knew that was going to be that question in the girl interview. you know what? It was funny because, of course, it was like I've put things off. It's kind of what I do. I'm like, I'm not really there yet, and I'll get to it because, you know, the speech is kind of more important than, like, the outfit is. I'm not really a girly girl.
Right.
And finally, I was like, everyone kind of kept saying, you don't have your dress yet? And I was like, right, I should probably get on that. And, you know, and there'll be two. And here's an exclusive for you. There'll be two unique outfits offered because at Hall of Fame, there'll be one outfit. And, of course, at WrestleMania, we do our little wave. So there'll be another stratifying outfit that night as well. So, yeah, when it occurred to me, like, yeah, I got to find two outfits soon. So let me do that. So I popped out. And luckily, it's like a wedding dress. I just found the first one I tried on. I was like, this is it. And it's beautiful and sparkly and probably bigger and sparklier than anything I've ever worn. But I thought, if this is kind of the moment, if you're ever going to wear big and sparkly, this is it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, expect a lot of bedazzling sparkle.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm sorry. We were sitting here last night and I was like, oh, I need to ask her what she's going to wear because I want to know what the dress is going to look like because, like I said, I'm a dork like that.
And the shoes are pretty, pretty smoking, I must say.
Oh, sweet. So we were perusing your website last night too, and we noticed that you have a thing up on your website documenting your favorite outfits for your career.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, do you have, obviously it's a short list. Do you have any others that didn't make it on that list that you liked or that are your absolute favorite?
You know, the one honorable mention that probably I forgot because this was a biggie. There was one outfit I wore that was black lace and it looked sort of see-through. I don't know if you recall that outfit. There was two of them. There was a black one like that and a white one like that. But the black one, for some, I remember even backstage, like, people were like, whoa. There was just, people really liked this outfit. And I'll never forget that if you watch my DVD, Steve Austin and I have a little conversation. Actually, a little clip of it appeared in my induction video. He mentioned that. He goes, yeah, you had a kind of racy outfit the other day. I said, yeah. And it was kind of, that's how noticeable it was. That it was like, that was something to speak of. So I kind of, once I posed the list, everyone was like, no, what about this outfit? I was like, right, it should be an honorable mention to that outfit for sure. But it's kind of cool to, you know, to list. And we've it's been a lot of fun. We've been looking back every, you know, week and just kind of putting these lists together, and man, it started off as just like, oh, I'll put a little list together, and then I've just had all these great moments and stories about how those, you know, outfits or how the cities or something kind of came about. So it's been cool to put the list together, and I think fans are really enjoying this look back, and it's been fun. I mean, the whole month's kind of been like this neat nostalgic look back and kind of getting me in the mood and talking to fans, and especially doing interviews, and you kind of go and look back at the times, and boy, we had some good times, I'll tell you that much. So it's been fun. So I appreciate you checking that out, and yeah, the list has been really fun.
Yeah, it was kind of neat to go back and look at the outfits for us as well, because it's like, oh, I remember that moment. I remember mm-hmm. that moment. Like the white outfit that you wore at the Lita and Kane wedding. It was like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those things where I wouldn't say that I'm known for my racy outfits. I don't think that's kind of, you know, there's probably racier. I wasn't really in shorts much, and, you know, I just kind of had my go-to outfits. But that moment just called for that, and I think that's what it was. It was a little bit more shocking, like, oh, wow, well, she's wearing quite a revealing outfit this week. And it was just, like, the moment for that. So, yeah, that was well-chosen one, I think, for the moment.
Oh, it was. It absolutely was. So looking back at your career, who is the one person you wish you could have gotten in the ring with and had a kick-ass match with?
Oh, Well, you know, I feel like I've been saying it a lot, but I mean, the two women that really did some awesome stuff before or after I left was, well, so it's funny because one thing I say is I was so satisfied when I retired because I felt like I worked with just about everyone I wanted to work with, right? And then all of a sudden I had this wonderful burst of Natty and Beth, and it was like the Divas Destruction, and it was just like awesome stuff that they were doing, and I was like, I want a piece of that. That would be something I would go back to, you know, because it just, it was good wrestling again. And, you know, Beth, thankfully, I had a chance to go back and wrestle with her, and, you know, Natty is just, we both say it, I would just love the opportunity to work with her, I think. And I say this, I'd work with her. When I say with her, I mean as her partner, or even I would, you know, take, it'd be my pleasure to kick her butt. So, you know, we both, you know, kind of bring in the Canadian mix of things, and I just see some double sharpshooter actions. I just see some good stuff that would be really good. But who knows? So that's kind of like, you know, on the wish list of, and I think, you know, Eve would have been a lot of fun to mix it up with as well. I noticed a lot of people have been comparing me and Caitlin, and I think that would be an interesting matchup. I saw a picture on Twitter where it was kind of showing, comparing us, and I thought, well, we kind of have the same gear, so that's kind of cool. She does have a quirky attitude, which I like, and I can relate to that as well. So, I mean, I didn't really give you an answer there, but there's a couple names that I think would be fun to really to mix it up with again.
That would definitely be kind of cool. I'm kind of curious, you know, you mentioned some of the more, the current divas, and we miss Beth. We very much miss Beth, and we love Natty here at Wild Talk Radio, as well as Caitlin and all the girls, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what are your kind of your thoughts on the current product as far as the divas go? You know, is there anybody that you would want to mentor or, you know, aside from Natty or anybody else that you would maybe want to work with?
I would love to sort of, I think what's missing is I think everyone has the right tools. I think we're seeing, listen, you look at like, and it's funny, I fell in love with Caitlin because I loved her quirky, you know, attitude, and she reminds me of me, and I like that a lot, you know, just that afraid to not be silly, and, you know, I just think that the fans don't know that side of her note as much as maybe we do in the inside, right? So
right.
I think what's missing overall, and it's something I've said this for years, is something's missing is the development of the characters. So everybody's got the right tools. Everybody has the skills to wrestle, and definitely I think we have some distinct personalities out there. Even someone like Rosa Mendez, you know, she's, it's to me that the lost art is the valet to full-time wrestler transition. And I think, you know, we've seen, the more we see Rosa in her valet role, it allows us to really get to know her and develop her character, right? And for her,
right.
I hope she realizes for, you know, it's one of the best places to be to really understand and to get wrestling. Like I know when I was ringside watching the guys wrestle and watching every movement evoked an emotion and you kind of watched what worked and what didn't work. And, you know, it made me, when I went into the ring, it made me be able to draw on those experiences and really bring that into the ring and be a better performer. So I think, everyone's got the capabilities. Certainly everyone's been wrestling more. And I think there's, some great wrestling technique going on now and characters for sure. I think now we just have to sort of, you know, look at the division as a whole, and it would be awesome to just think of like, okay, how do we position each person a little differently and make these storylines? Because everyone's kind of wrestling with each other, but there's no storyline,
right.
You know, and like, what's the direction and why are they wrestling? Why are those two, why do those two hate each other? And I want it to be more than like, you're a girl and I don't want the title. It has to be more about than just the title, because obviously, yeah, that's what we're all going for. That's the purpose of being in wrestling and why you compete in your division. But there's got to be an underlying storyline, and usually that's what, you know, stems from your characters. So it would be cool to just go in there and go, okay, can we just put a little, you know, a few month plan together? Because that's what we did. You know, it was kind of like, I knew that Nikki was coming in, and it was like, okay, but what are we going to do with her? What are we going to do together? Where is this going to go? Where is this going to end up? And, you know, Brian and I started that, the Mickey James, like, okay, Mickey's here. What are we going to do? We actually went to like, okay, let's do a single white female thing. And we based it on the story, like the movie, and thought, let's take that and adapt it to wrestling and make it work. And yes, it did. And so it got a little, you know, crazy. And 6 months later, we had some great, you know, we had some great storylines that are what certainly made our feud and our fights a little bit more fueled. So that's what's missing. And I'd love to go in and look at, do a, like a landscape, a little, like a landscape direction of the women's division.
I can definitely see that. I can definitely agree with that. And we actually, we did a WrestleMania series where we went back and we watched one match from WrestleMania every year, and we actually watched your match with Mickey, and we had forgotten how fantastic it was.
I'm not going to lie, I watched it too the other day because I was talking about an interview and I was saying how someone mentioned, they said, like, yeah, it was amazing how the crowd was, you know, they booed you, but in a good way because they were so involved in your storyline that, you know, it was just, they were so involved. And I was like, yeah. And then I went back and I was like, right, that was awesome. You know, and, you know, and actually, I texted Nikki after. I'm like, girl, we rocked my WrestleMania. I just want to say. And she's like, I know, you know, and we're so thankful we had that opportunity. But we did have, you know, 6 months of storyline that weaved and bobbed and did all these crazy twists and turns that got us to that moment that people were so invested in it. And they were right there for the ride. And it was awesome. We were blessed to be in that spot. And I'll never forget when we came back, the curtain, the guys were clapping and they were just like, wow, like we could proudly say we were one of the marquee matches going into that WrestleMania, which as a female, that's not every day you get that. So we were really proud of that work. And it's a testament to the hard work that Fit and myself and the writers and all of us put into developing that little nugget of, you know, the addition of that part of WrestleMania.
Right. It was an absolutely fantastic match. And I wish we could get more matches like that with the girls. I honestly do.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's the thing. You get these girls' matches are great. They're actually having really good matches, to be honest. And
they
you know,
are.
Like, Tamia is fantastic in there. I mean, and it's like everybody happens to be under the radar because they're like, yeah, it's a good match, but it's true. It's, you know, it's like you need that storyline. There's just no way around it. So they could deliver the goods. They just need something to fuel them in there. So when they're there, it's like, I care what that kick means or why that cheat means, oh, why I hate her for that cheat, you know? So that's the only thing that's missing for sure.
Right. I'd like to ask you if I can, you know, WrestleMania, it seems like such a stressful week. And we were looking at the schedule for post WrestleMania, and it seems like you guys get just like absolutely no time when you're on the active roster to come down from that week. So how did you do that when you were on the active roster? I mean, I'm sure now it's like this week will be over and you'll kind of go home and take a deep breath and be like, that was awesome. But you know, how did you do that on the active roster where it's like you know, WrestleMania would be over and then you had to go to the next show that next night and just keep going and going and going?
I think it was just, I just always say it's autopilot. You know, you kind of just, it's part of what you do every day. It's kind of like people saying, like, how do you work out every day? And it's just what I do. I get up and I work out. And that's just like part of my daily. It's not like a task or something. It's what I do every day. And so I think when the schedule that we do when you're in the grind, it's just part of what you do every day. You get up and you perform. And it's every day leads up to it. And everything you do around it is whether you're thinking of your storylines or your outfit or your match and your moves. And it's just part of your day. So autopilot is a big thing. And of course, listen, it's got to be fueled by this I love what I do thing, right? Like,
right.
You know, it's funny how even in my job now, like, I mean, I have the studio and I have my brand that I run. And I mean, I'm completely admitted I'm a workaholic, and I work probably 19 hours a day. But I love what I do. I love creating. I love creating new campaigns and new products and working with new partners. I love every minute of it. And so people are like, God, do you ever stop working? I'm like, no, but I love it. Like, I don't mind. It's not work to me. So that grind of the wrestling schedule, you love what you do. And so every day is just great. Bring it on because it's a new chance to shine, new chance for your character to develop certain a different way, a new chance to maybe mix it up with another character. So if it's not fueled with this passion, then, oh, forget about it. You can just leave now. And then it's like, yeah, this is a pain in the ass schedule. But no, otherwise it's party every day and it's fueled by passion. And autopilot is a very helpful thing in that case, too.
I can imagine. And you know, you mentioned your yoga, which is absolutely fantastic. And we've spoken to you before about your yoga. And I've tried it and I love it.
Awesome.
And I actually want to know, because we also talked to you last time about your love for action figures and how you collect them and Mattel and how excited you were for the relationship between WWE and Mattel. I would love to know who we have to talk to get like a Trish Stratus special edition Barbie for the Hall of Fame from Mattel.
I would like to know as well. Let's start something on Twitter because, oh my God, that would be so cool. Yeah, everyone knows I collect Barbies and, of course, action figures. Actually, I don't think Mattel's made, I think all my action figures are Jack's. So I think, A, we're due for a Mattel action figure. And then if we can make a version of Barbie, that'd be just fun because that's one occupation that hasn't been offered in the Barbie line, right?
Right.
Girls could be a diva, and I think that's an important thing to point out. So yes, let's start some letter writing and some petitions or something. But I mean, I think it's kind of cool to show, you know, women can do this too, because that's one thing I'll tell you what that we fought for was to be able to have the women's division viewed in a different light and to have the women's wrestling as a whole perceived differently. I think we accomplished that back in the day. And I think we showed that, like, hey, you know what, you girls, you guys can go out there and be, and it's not just in wrestling, but you are showing that you're being a woman in a male-dominated world and you're making it by sticking to your guns and being a strong role model. So I think, yeah, Barbie needs to be a wrestler, a diva.
Barbie definitely needs to be a wrestler, and it's like, as far as the Trish Stratus Barbie, I know they make brunettes, and it's like, well, I can make my own, but that's just not as fun. It's a little creepy.
You know, action figure wise, we don't have a brunette one, do we?
No, I don't think they do. Okay. We need to get on them about that.
We need to get on that. Okay, next task. Thank you.
Yes, I have to remember, make phone calls after the interview is over. You know, we need the Trish Stratus Barbie. We need the Trish Stratus action figure now. So, I have to ask, how is the yoga going? Are you looking to expand it even further than you have now? Because I know you did some bigger projects earlier in the year. Are we going to see more of that, or are you kind of sort of just taking it easy right now?
No, taking it easy is not in my nature. I just don't do that. I tried to do that when I retired. That was the idea, but that didn't work either. So, we're continuously developing new, products for the line. I just released, like, I first, you know, the yoga, line when I first released it. Then I kind of got into fitness a little bit and I have a dumbbell set, and I find, like, you know, a lot of what I do is like, what works for me and what makes my life balanced and how do I add to having a healthy body and mind? And so the, you know, yoga and then of course the weight set was something that, I thought was missing. I think the strength training is super important, aspect to a fitness regime. I'm developing another DVD actually. Like, we did, Stratus for Yoga was the original DVD, which showed my style of combining the weight training movements with the yoga. And then I went into, I was getting great response from men, but a lot of men were intimidated by, you know, giving it a try, and a lot of them hadn't tried it. So I actually did a Stratus for Yoga for Men version, which is a quick 25-minute workout, which is the same series, but I actually brought in, he's a former Blue Jay, his name is Joe Carter, and most men will know him, and he hit the World Series home run for Toronto back in the day, so he's kind of a baseball icon, and he was, you know, we started doing some work, I was doing some work with his charity, and he was like, I love this yoga stuff, this is great. And then I thought, you know, it's cool that, like, if guys can relate, so they see this athlete, this icon, doing yoga, and he's a man, and maybe there's moments where he kind of sucks at times, but he gets better within the 25 minutes, and it's okay, you know? And so that did really well, and so, like, it's really cool to me seeing guys talking on my Twitter timeline and talking about how they're doing the yoga now and stuff like that. I think it's great. So I've got another DVD in the works, which we're just developing right now. Just continuing to offer, you know, for me personally, my fitness, approaches have kind of evolved. Every year you learn something new. Like, recently I got into, CrossFit and thought, oh, this is cool. And I just, obviously CrossFit's really blown up as well. So a lot of my functional training and a lot of my workouts sometimes are CrossFit inspired, especially when I don't have the time to, to do a full long workout or something. So, and that led to my New Balance relationship, where now, you know, I just have a cover that actually just came out this week, and it's the whole workout is a CrossFit. I thought that, you know, usually they always come to me and say, let's do a yoga workout, but I thought, well, let's share this CrossFit workout, because I think if you can kind of, you know, reach out to as many people with a diverse interest in fitness as possible, it's been kind of cool, because it's not just about doing one thing in your life, it's about trying to do new things and changing it up in your routines and stuff. So it's ever expanding, and lots of stuff going great. You know, my DVD is the Bounty Hunters DVD. I think that's the last time we spoke, was when Bounty Hunters had come out. And
yes.
We're releasing the Blu-ray edition, which actually should be out April 2nd. So we're pretty excited about that, and it should have a bunch of new features. And I do commentary and talk about the architecture of a fight scene, which is a lot of fun. So things are just kind of rock and rolling. Can't complain. Not a dull day over here.
Yeah, we watched the Bounty Hunters DVD when it came out, and it was awesome.
Well, thank you.
Loved your fight scenes. And my producer says, darn that Joe Carter, because he's a Philly fan. The home run happened against the Phillies, so.
That's hilarious. Yep, sorry.
So, to kind of start to wrap things up a little bit, I'd love to know, you know, because you're going in and Sunny has gone in previously and so many great females have gone in, who would you like to see as the next female inductee for the Hall of Fame?
I mean, I think Lita would be a great pick. She and I obviously sort of had this parallel our entire career. She's a great friend of mine. I respect her, and she's, you know, our career was a real special thing that we had, you know, the relationship and the character's relationship as well. I think she would be deserving, and, you know, but at the same time, it's a long list. There's some great women that, you know, I know one thing I kept hearing was Luna Vachon. Everyone thought, why is Trish Stratus going in before Luna Vachon? And, right. You know, I concur, actually, you know, I think Luna would obviously, it would be great to see her go in, and, you know, but there's so many women who contributed to this, to the overall of what the women, or how women are perceived, I guess, in wrestling, but, yeah, I mean, these women will all get in, you know, at some point, so it's sort of just not a matter of will they, it's a matter of when, so, yeah.
And just as kind of one final question, I know you ran the poll on your website, and Lita won by an absolute landslide. Is she a lock to induct you at this stage, or is that still kind of up in the air?
Still up in the air, because in WWE, but there's no such thing as a lockdown. We just do things as we do things, and there's always changes. Uh-huh. But no, I'm going to say to you that it'll be a nice surprise for everybody on the Hall of Fame night, because you know, there's it's at least something to be surprised. Can we?
Well, I certainly can't wait. I know everybody here at Wild Talk Radio can't wait. We're super excited to see you go in.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best, you can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war, you can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something. That's no gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird. Wow. Becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing up at the party. Why are you doing the battle over here?
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Not the pelvic thrust. That looks like Cthulhu in the sky. Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey, everybody, this is Ed Front. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey, everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. We are, of course, brought to you by Mim Lane Promo. And we are now, yes, we are getting to the TNA porting portion, I should say, of the show. And this, of course, is brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com. By the way, if you're just joining us and you missed our interview with Trish Stratus, please go back in the archives. It should be posted sometime tomorrow, and I can't freaking talk.
Yeah, so we will get up on both websites that... probably tomorrow noonish, 1 p.m. Eastern time. So you want to look out for that.
Yes, I'd like to extend my big thanks once again to Trish Stratus. Please go to TrishStratus.com. Please check out her Hall of Fame induction. Please buy her yoga because she is amazing. And, of course, if you can find Bounty Hunters on DVD, go watch it. The chick fights are awesome. And she, of course, is my hero, and I want to have her kittens.
Yes, Bounty Hunters, as she said in the interview, will be coming out, I believe, April 2nd on Blu-ray for those who have such machine technologies.
Yes. And you should be able to find it on the iTunes as well, but maybe not. I don't know. We can get you all that information. We'll post that up with the recap of the show. But now, we're going to go to our recap of tonight's really exciting Impact Wrestling. And you just leave me hanging. Thanks.
Yes, we're getting to this week's. I was getting to, you know, answering stuff on Facebook. Anyway, yes.
Get on Facebook. We're doing a show.
Blame one of our chatters. He sent me a message on Facebook. Anyway, yes, it was really exciting. They're back live from, where were they? Jonesboro, Arkansas?
They're live in Jonesboro, Arkansas, from Arkansas State University. Matt, stop distracting the producer. Just stop it. I know it's you, so just stop.
anyway, yes, great show. It was live tonight, and live brings a lot of excitement.
Well, even the tape shows, like I keep saying, you know, these arena shows, when they were in London and from the last 2 weeks in Chicago and now in Arkansas, these arena shows are doing so much for them, and it's making the product just that much better because you've got that live, loud crowd, not anything against the Impact Zone, but like you always felt like in the Impact Zone they had little applause signs and they were telling people when to applaud. It's like here it feels like a wrestling show. It looks like a wrestling show. So it's just got that much better vibe to it, and it's just that much more enjoyable. At least to me.
Yes, it is. It really is. And that crowd tonight was really hot for this show.
Oh my god, they were so into it.
They were. And that's what you want. Hell, we have what we see is we have fans bringing signs, and legit signs, and one says TNA for life and stuff. They had people holding letters. It was tremendous.
Yes, that was awesome. It's like the huge TNA for life, the Hulk Hogan guy walking around. Did you see him walking around?
Yes, I did.
That was awesome. But we're going to go ahead. We're going to recap the show. Hopefully, if you guys in our chat room want to give us your thoughts on the show when we talk about the segments, please do. We are happy to have you.
We will read them on air if they're worth reading. So bring your push.
Yeah, bring your best. And we're trying something a little different. I took notes on the show because every time I try to read a recap, I always screw it up. So, I took notes on the show tonight. So, here we go. We open tonight's Impact with the one and only Jeff Hardy and his quote-unquote gimmick infringement Creatures of the Night. Hardy walks out to the ring and he takes a victory lap around slapping hands and whatnots, and then he climbs up in the ring and he starts to give a fairly generic promo. I don't quite remember everything he said, but he starts talking, and of course he gets interrupted by Bully and the Boys of Aces and Eights.
All you heard over the speakers was blah 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 coming from Bully Ray,
which was amazing. And it didn't stop there, because Bully and Anderson get up on the ring apron in front of the announcers, and they start taking shots.
Yeah.
Legit shots. Like, keep selling merch, Jeff. Just keep selling the merch, and then it won't matter.
Yeah, Anderson basically said that no way that happens. You know, everyone gets a second chance. No way does that ever happen. But wait, that actually does happen all the time. Anderson, this guy, pointing at Jeff Hardy, gets, you know, not one, but two, like three or four or five, 50, 75 chances. And then, you know, some people get free passes because Anderson said they don't get free passes because they don't need them. And then they took a shot at Hardy, as she said, about burning down buildings and selling merchandise.
Yes, and keep doing it, Jeff. Keep doing it, because it doesn't matter. And it was a great way to start the show. And, well, Hardy's not going to take this lightly, so he responds by taking a shot of his own at Anderson, except this was more of like a punch rather than, you know, a verbal shot, because actions speak louder than words.
They do.
And Hardy proceeds to knock Bully and Anderson off the apron, which, of course, doesn't sit well with the boys in black, so they all get in the ring and gang jump Hardy, start to beat the crap out of him. Bully then takes off his chain. Take that as you will, and prepares to hit Hardy with it, except they get slightly interrupted when Joe, EY, and a few others run in for the save. And because it's open fight night, we should have mentioned that before, it's open fight night, Hardy versus Anderson is made for your main event of the evening.
Yes, we had guys like Angle, Joe, Magnus, Eric Young. The roster came out to save one Jeffrey Nero Hardy. Really hot opener, sets up the main event, open fight night. Pretty cool.
I just popped because I saw EY. It's like, yes, EY!
EY's awesome. If you haven't watched him fish, oh my god, he's entertaining as hell.
Oh, breaking news! Number 1 seed Indiana has lost to the number 4 seed Syracuse, 61-50 in the men's NCAA tournament. So there's a shake-up for ya.
If your brackets weren't busted before...
Go Louisville! That's all I'm going to say. Go Cards!
Yes. Cover your ears if you didn't want to be spoiled by that.
Mute your speakers, Matt! I'm going to post obnoxious things to you on your Facebook. I'm just warning you now. Like, you are so doomed, because now we're just going to start doing this to you.
she gave
them up for Lent.
Tremendous.
Well done.
Hot open.
How? Oh, God. All right, moving on.
Hot open that was. We then go backstage. We have Chavo and Hernandez walking around.
I'm calling this the Chavo Hernandez block in the show.
Yeah, it is full of Chavo and Hernandez. Yes, they were complaining about Daniels and Kaz interfering in their business. And they're tired of it. And, well, it's open fight night, so they're going to be taking care of things when they get back from the break.
And it still looks weird to see people walking around backstage.
Yes, people just don't know where they're going sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, we don't have the long hallway anymore, and we don't have... It's just, it's weird. I'm happy that they're out of the impact zone, but it still looks weird that they're just walking around backstage, and it's a different backstage every time. And it's just like, you get used to certain things, and then you don't. So it's just a little weird.
But hey, weird in a good way.
Weird in an awesome way. Keep it up, TNA. But yes, after Chavo and Hernandez say they're going to call out Bad Influence because they want them, so do I. But I'm sure I want them for different reasons. They head out to the ring. Chavo cuts a promo about how they're sick and tired of getting screwed over by bad influence, that they want their shot at the tag team titles. And so tonight's event will be Chavo and Hernandez taking on Bad Influence for a number one contenders match.
Yeah, because they spoke to Hulk Hogan, and, you know, he said, Hulk said, you know, yeah, sure, you can get your title match, or a contenders match, rather.
Right. And this was a absolutely fantastic match. Chris, Daniels and Kaz had shirts, and I want to know what they said on them.
Taz was talking up how there's a Bad Influence movie coming, and yeah, they're promoting their shirts. That's what they had on them promoting the movie. Yeah, I would think they would be on FallenAngelChristopherDaniels.com at some point.
Well, we'll have to go check it out. But if you want more Bad Influence, Alan Wojcik has an interview with them this coming Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, so check that out.
Yes, but this was a really good match. A lot of false finishes. The referee was really on point. Really on point. He saw every cheating thing, everything. Yeah, every chance they tried to cheat. He was right on top of it tonight.
He was. I felt a little bad for him because they didn't get to do their normal shtick, and I so enjoy Daniels and Kaz doing their normal stuff. Also, it looked like Daniels whacked his head on the stairs pretty good at one point, too.
It did look like that, which is terrible for Daniels. But good match. Sadly, Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez are your number one contenders for the tag team titles.
I so wanted Bad Influence to win just so they'll beat Bobby and Austin and we'll get the championship suspenders, but sadly, they get held down once again. It's a conspiracy, folks. I'm telling you. It's a conspiracy. Daniels and Kaz are getting held down. Have to work on that.
The conspiracy continues.
The conspiracy continues, so stay tuned. But what's not a conspiracy, what's wide open and about to fall out is, well, Taryn Terrell's boobs. Because she's up next. She's backstage, and she sticks her head out of the dressing room where she's partially got her top on, and she's holding it up. Here's a clue, honey. Why don't you actually, you know, tie it up in the back so that way it does what it's supposed to and hold your boobs up while you're on camera?
Well, she wasn't expecting for the random knock on the door.
You can just tie a bow real quick. It's not going to kill you. Anyway, she's excited and she's partially dressed and she's coming up next. This is what happens when I do my own recaps. This is what happens when I read my own recap.
You're good. Continue. I'm following along. Continue.
But yeah, up next, before we get to Taryn and we get to the awesome knockout segment, we have a TNA Instafact.
Alright, we have this really interesting discussion going on our chat tonight, and this ties into it all. TNA Instafact. Huh. Did you know?
Yeah. Huh. The more you know, the more you know is half the battle, and so on and so forth. Yeah. TNA, no. I love you. I really, really do, despite my sarcasm and my joking and everything aside. I absolutely adore your product. I adore your wrestlers, but Don't rip this off WWE. Please don't. Just, I know they ripped off your fancy intro where you guys recap, but getting them back by ripping off your TNA Instafact is not cool. Just stick to your own stuff. Yes, Matt, we're going to get to Tara's new hairstyle. Don't worry about that.
We're getting there. We're getting there. But Taryn Terrell is in the ring, Lindsay, and she's ready to call somebody out.
Yes, Taryn is fired up, and she, of course, calls out the one person who, well, has been giving her crap for the last couple months. She calls out Gail Kim, who takes her dear sweet time to get out there.
She did. Like, come on, Gail. Come on. Where are you, Gail?
Yeah.
Like, Taryn was like, you're afraid of little old me? It's a little old me. I'm just, you know, I'm Taryn Terrell. You're just afraid of me, and she takes her time. Like, all right, here's a good thing about this. That was the best way they've ever done this open fight night thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes it seems way too staged where, oh, my God, they're waiting to come out. Her music played and she took her time. That was actually nicely done by TNA where it's open fight night. You're not expecting to be called out, so you take your time.
Right, and this wasn't the only only instance of this, that this happened. They're timing it better now, and I think they can do it a little bit better now that they're, you know, in a bigger backstage area, and it, you know, obviously it makes more sense where it's not everything is right there clustered up by the stage like it is in the Impact Zone. They're more spread out, so it's, you know, maybe it does take you a little bit longer to walk from the women's locker room to the stage, or from Hulk Hogan's office to the stage, or whatever. So yeah, it was a nice little touch.
Yes, it was.
And then Gail comes out looking awesome. I love that black outfit on her. I think she wears it so well. And she comes out. She cuts a great promo on Taryn and basically says, well, you know, Gail isn't the only person who has a problem with Taryn, and somebody wanted to call her out.
Yes. You know, she's been rubbing people the wrong way. And who else did she rub the wrong way?
Miss Tara, one of our favoritest knockouts. Miss Tara comes out with her new hairstyle, by the way. Very straight, dyed tips, mm-hmm. dyed like blonde, very nice.
It was a nice, refreshing change for one Tara, because we're usually seeing, you know.
I'm sorry, hair. Matt. I have a crush on Tara. I have a crush on Gail. I have a crush on a couple of them. Like ODB too. Like she is definitely one of my favoritest. But yeah.
Yes, and if you haven't gone to her restaurant in Chicago, go now. It's the Squared Circle. Go check it out. I believe you can follow them on Twitter at the Squared Circle.
Yes, go there. They have, according to Matt Goldberg, because we give him a lot of shouts outs because he's here tonight. Yes, he says go or she'll slam you. They have good cheeseburgers, and I hear they have good pizza too.
Yes, that's what we're hearing. So good things. If you're in Chicago. If you're in Chicago, go check out her restaurant, because she's there during, you know, Monday Night Raw, SmackDown. She watches the show, so go there.
Yes, she does, which is awesome.
Yes.
But, so, Miss Tara and Jesse come out, and they start to kick the crap out of Taryn. And, well, somebody comes out to make the save.
It'll be the one, the only, the knockout champion, Velvet Sky.
She runs out, she makes the save, she chases two of our favorite girls off, and Velvet and Taryn stare in the ring, and they glare at each other as TNA goes to commercial break.
Hot segment. Very hot segment. It sets up an interesting storyline between the four ladies of the
It does,
division.
And it's... And we're going to get to this in a second, but I like how they're starting to be more aggressive.
I would agree. They're getting more physical. There's a lot more aggression. It's not just typical, let's have a match. No, there's fire, there's intensity, and it's all stemming from this Taryn Terrell, who's, you know, was a referee and now is a competitor. She's bringing this fire and intensity that the division has been needing.
Yes, and you can tell it's like there's like almost a genuine hatred between her and Gail, which is awesome. But when we come back, we have Velvet giving an interview. Taryn wanders off when she hears Gail and Tara walking backstage. And, well, Taryn jumps them in the hallway. They start to brawl in the hallway. Velvet has to run in and try and pull Taryn off, to which they all get into it. Then the security had to come by and break them up and pull them apart, which was just fantastic.
It was. It really was. Taz was asking if she needs anger management.
I wonder.
Good segment. Again, fire, intensity, passion.
Yes, it's great. I love to see that they're doing things with the girls, that they're getting aggressive, they're getting more out there. They're not just there to look at. You can tell that they are really there to kick butt. And that's always been true of the knockouts, but now they're re-emphasizing that again, which is awesome and always great to see.
Right.
And after this, we get the first mini Lindsay squeeze tonight, because we had the one, the only Adam Pearce on the show.
Yes, this they actually did something cool. They actually promoted what's going to happen next week on Gut Check. We have the 17-year-old veteran, former NWA heavyweight champion of the world.
Five or six time NWA champion of the world.
The Scrap Daddy himself, Adam Pearce. And he was going up against a 13-year veteran, as JB called him, Magno?
Yeah, Magno. I've never heard of him, but I was just like more like, holy crap, it's Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce is on Impact Wrestling, to which I say 1,000 times, yes, 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 please, just for the love of God, skip the gut check and give the man a contract, and then give him a title.
Yes. It should be interesting next week. Adam Pearce and Magno. Apparently, I looked them up on the Wikipedias. Apparently, his claim to fame was appearing on a TNA World Cup event. So.
Okay, well, I think they had a lot of people in from the pay-per-views, too. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. If you have never seen Adam Pearce wrestle, this is going to be a huge treat for you because he is absolutely amazing. His biggest claim to fame, aside from being an NWA World Heavyweight Champion, is he's been in ROH, I believe. He recently, over the summer, completed the 7 Levels of Hate with Colt Cabana, which culminated in Australia. There's actually a DVD coming out for it. Which he is releasing. I don't have a due date on it yet. But, yes, so they are actually doing a DVD of this feud, which was actually, I believe, a 2-year-long feud done on the indies. It's an absolutely amazing thing to see. If you get the chance to try and find some of the matches, or at least some of the build-up on YouTube, go for it. Again, that's 7, actual number 7. You don't have to spell it out. Levels of Hate. He had the feud with Colt Cabana.
Yes, we had Adam on right before the final match of the series. There's a lot of controversy that stems from it, so you're going to want to check out that DVD when it comes out sometime this year, I would imagine.
Right. So definitely, definitely check it out. And I'm actually, like I said, I'm looking forward to next week's gut check. It should be exciting.
Yes, and I liked how they promoted it tonight. It's like, it made it seem like it's a big deal. Because they did a nice promo package before, like how, you know, people's lives have changed from winning gut check.
Right. Although I noticed they left out Wes Briscoe. Just saying.
Well, he's the bad guy.
I don't care. He won his match and he was signed via gut check, thank you very much.
But he's a bad guy now and he's not a part of TNA. He's an Aces and Eights member. You gotta realize this, Lindsay.
He's a bad guy with incredibly holy genes and I am so thankful for that. What? I waited through halfway through the show. I figured you'd be proud.
I am. Anyway, continue.
We cut back to the backstage, or continue backstage, I should say, where Sting is trying to go into Hulk Hogan's office, and Atlas Security stops him at the door, where he's trying to, you know, obviously get in and talk to him, but, well, Hogan's not having anything of it. Sting gets him mad, and he storms off, saying how ridiculous it is.
Yes, Hulk Hogan said he's not allowed to be here tonight. He's not going to be on the show, so Sting's here.
But as we cut into Hulk Hogan's office, we see him and Jeff Hardy talking. Apparently they made up, and Hulk Hogan's all high back on him again. The gist of this is basically Hardy gets to name the stipulation in his title match with Bully Ray in a couple weeks in Corpus Christi,
yes.
To which that made Hardy happy.
It did. And what it basically was, he was trying to, you know, go back on, you know, I said a lot of things bad about you, brother, on the pay-per-view. I picked Bully Ray. I should never pick Bully Ray. Yada, yada, yada. So he's trying to make up for it, and that's why he's giving him the chance to pick the stipulation. And, you know, he apologized for costing him the title because he put him in the cage and stuff, and, yeah. Hogan's made a lot of mistakes, brother.
Basically, he's kissing up.
Pretty much.
The meeting ends with Hogan leaving in a huff because Sting's music plays, and, well, he's not supposed to be there, so Hogan is going to go stop him, we think.
We think.
But this is where I say, for this next segment, we cue the Jerry Springer chants. Sting comes out to the ring to a huge ovation from the crowd. He gets in the ring and he says he's got something to get off his chest about Bully Ray. He cuts a nice promo on him and he says, you know, he's tired of chasing Hulk Hogan. He's tried to talk to him twice to no avail. So guess what? It's open fight night. You can call people out. So he's going to call out Hulk Hogan.
Yes, Sting was basically saying, I was wrong. I was very, very wrong about Bully Ray. And, well, I need to fix it. I need to fix this. We got to get back on the same page, brother. Brother. Brother.
Brother, 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 sister, mother, father.
Yes.
And This was a great, just this side of it was hugely intense. It was fantastic. He was selling it like a champ. And then if it wasn't good enough, and this is one of the few times you're ever going to hear me praise Hulk Hogan, Hogan comes out. He takes his time. Again, nicely done TNA on that. And he walks to the ring. Hogan's got a mad.
He does.
He's just as pissed as Sting, and he basically lets Sting have it.
Yeah. He was not accepting the apology this time around.
No, he wasn't. The two have it out, and, well, it ends with basically Hogan ripping off his shirt and Atlas Security coming between them to stop them from fighting, because essentially Hogan tells Sting to get the hell out of his ring, and Sting says, make me.
Yeah. Hogan was basically talking about how, you know, Sting was pleading for him to listen to him. He should listen, but not to his gut, but to Sting. Listen to Sting about Bully Ray. He's changed. Dixie Carter and the like were, talking about it. And then Sting screamed in Hogan's face to stop blaming the others and make up his own decisions. And Hogan shouted back that he's the guy who walked his daughter down the aisle and picked Ray as the number one contender. He screwed up. Hogan said he's tired of listening to everyone else, so as the general manager, the decision maker, he told Sting, get the hell out of me, my ring, brother.
Yeah, this was a fantastic segment. Absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
And it sold it. It completely sold it. And I loved how they went to commercial with security walking Sting to the back and out of the ring, or out of the building.
Yes.
Where they're escorting him out of the building, and they're showing him being escorted out of the building, which, for that kind of stuff, I absolutely love. Because it just adds a nice reality to the product.
Right. This was a fantastic thing. Hogan was kept pointing at his knee, don't worry about the knee, don't worry about the knee, I'm ready to go, let's go. You want to go? You want to go? Let's go, bro. Brother.
Brother, sister, father, mother, whatever. We go, and what was nice is they continued it. They had Sting continuing to walk out the back, and Matt Morgan confronts him and makes a comment about Hulk Hogan's mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Sting kind of sort of stoops his shoulders and just keeps walking, which was nice.
My one problem with this segment, this part was taped.
Yeah, it was taped. You could tell.
Do you know how I could tell?
How?
When Sting was leaving, he had one glove on. When he was backstage there, he had two gloves on.
Well, to be fair, they did go to commercial. He could have taken the glove off.
No, it was before he even walked to the back. The glove was, dropped in the ring somewhere. So this time he had two gloves on, not just the one, when he was, the live portion. That's all.
Yeah.
It was
he could have put it back on.
It was the Apprentice moment. Because if you ever watch Celebrity Apprentice or The Apprentice, they film the scene where they go into the limo before everyone films the scene. So, it's like, they weren't wearing that when they went down the elevator.
You just have to be a smartass about it, don't you?
Told you I was in the smartass mood tonight, didn't I?
Yeah, I know. I know you are.
I warned you.
Well, now you need to sober up, because now shit's getting real.
Is it?
It is. It is time for my most favorite redneck. I love a good old Southern boy. See what he does to me? See?
She, this dude gets in her brain.
He does.
She gets all flustered.
I do. He gives me the vapors. I swear he gives me the vapors. You like that, do you? Anyway, my favorite cowboy, James Storm, comes to the ring. And, Hogan and Sting aren't the only ones that has a mad, because Storm's got a mad, too. A lot of people were mad this tonight. Maybe they do need Dr. Shelby.
They might have to, get a call into Dr. Shelby.
No, he did not have an ugly shirt tonight. He was walking around mostly naked. Which I definitely approve of. Anyway, Storm has a mad, and he talks about AJ basically saying how, AJ, he's been in his shoes. He knows how this goes, and he wants to call him out. He wants to talk to him about basically all the crap that's gone down between the two of them. And we wait. And what I liked about this was they did not have AJ Styles come out on the stage.
No, they did not.
You have AJ Styles show up in the crowd.
And just stand there. He just stood there listening.
Yeah, and he just stood there listening, which was a really nice touch, because it's like, oh crap, are they really going to do this where they have AJ Styles, you know, come back? Because last week he was not invited in Chicago. He came on his own. But this week he's there, but he hasn't told anybody he's going to be there, so it's just like he showed up at the event and is in the crowd, which was a really, 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 really nice touch.
It was. It really was.
They're doing a lot of nice things that are very subtle, but just added really good dimension to the product. But anyway, Storm continues to address AJ. He continues to tell him that this isn't the path he should take, and that, well, they need to settle this between them, and there's two ways that a Southern boy can settle this kind of thing. You can either drink it out, or you can fight it out.
And he left the choice up to one AJ Styles.
He did leave the choice up to one AJ Styles. Unfortunately, Wes, Garrett, and Steve sort of made the decision for them and started to came in and started to kick the crap out of Storm.
Yeah, they, Team Aces and AIDS came down. They basically beat up Storm for a while. But then AJ Styles somehow just walked away during that whole thing. And, well, somebody made a save for one James Storm.
That's right. We see EY for the second time tonight running down to the ring, and he tries to desperately save James Storm, but unfortunately, well, things didn't work out that way, and EY continues to get his ass kicked until Angle comes down and tries to make the save. They run Wes, Garrett, and Steve off, but Angle's not done with them. Oh, no. He still wants retribution for Lockdown. He still wants retribution for Wes and Garrett turning on him, and so he demands that they have a six-man tag match right now.
Wait, right here, right now?
Right here, right now.
Yeah!
There's going to be some butt kicking going on.
Six-man tag. Fun six-man tag.
Great six-man tag.
It ended in a little bit of a, you know, cluster when the VP of the Aces and Eights showed up, distracted one Kurt Angle, and, you know, he was able to, you know, get away from that D'Lo distraction, put the ankle lock on Garrett Bischoff, who Taz was calling Bish all night, because that's what they call him in the clubhouse, Bish. But then your man Wes decided to hook a pair of tights and roll up Kurt Angle to get the victory for Aces and Eights. So it seems like Wes is the one who can get the better of TNA.
He is. I wonder if that's going to play in the future. By the way, I need to pause this recap for just a second because I have to explain to the new listeners, because I don't think we explained this last week. For anybody over that's new, that's just listening to us for the first time, we do not call Doc, because that wasn't his name when he first came in. I got bored and I sort of named the Aces and Eights because they didn't have names and I felt it was stupid that they were calling him Armbreaker and whatnot. So Doc is Steve from Wyoming.
Steve the Armbreaker from Wyoming.
Yes, yeah, Steve the Armbreaker from Wyoming. Mike Knox is Bill from Kentucky. And Wes is Bunny Fufu.
Just so we're clear.
Just so everybody knows, but we usually just call Doc Steve because it's easier.
Yes, because it's been something running long thing. Because, you know, for months he didn't have a name.
Yes, he didn't. So we decided to name him. Or rather, I decided to name him because that's what I do. So, anyway, back to your regularly scheduled program. We then cut to Devon and Bully sitting in the back with Anderson. They're all three by themselves, and they're talking about Anderson's match with Hardy. Bully says it's crap that Hardy's going to get to name the stip, and then Anderson basically loses his damn mind and starts yelling and hollering about how, well, he's not going to get the chance to name the stipulation because Anderson is actually going to destroy him tonight. And he starts waving the hammer and spilling perfectly good beer and just going insane. Which was awesome.
Mr. Anderson was all fired up.
He was, and Bully and Devon were thrilled to see it. They were quite happy as Anderson stormed off for his match with Jeff Hardy. But before...
Gahar from Hawaii is D'Lo.
Sir, why not? Gahar. Okay, D'Lo is Gahar. There we go.
Thank you.
We're going to have to remember that.
Thank you, Dutch, in our chat room. If you're not in our chat room, it's entertaining tonight. Come over to wildtalkradio.com. or RackRadioShow.com. Click the chat button on Wild Talk Live Center on Rack Radio Show.
Matt, no, we did not mention that Tara has been added to WWE's alumni today. For those, so those who don't know, Tara was added to WWE's alumni today.
Yes. So I'm going to stop you, and I'm going to take over for a second. I'm going to take over for a minute.
So I can squee?
Yes. All right. So Jeremy Borash is—they're finally doing what they need to do, promoting the one night only pay per views premiering next Friday on pay per view. Check it out. It's Extravaganza. JB said it's going to be spotlighting the X Division. He brought in Sanjay Dutt to note that Dutt, you know, can get back in the X Division title picture if he beats, you know, a couple people.
Hooray for Sanjay Dutt. Anyway, go on.
Sanjay Dutt's back on TV. Mason Andrews, a.k.a. Scorpio Sky, a.k.a.
Harold!
From the awesome Anger Buddies sketches, the Anger Management sketches on WWE TV. And then, for the first time in 4 years, an X Division original. The one, the only, Petey Williams. So next week, live-ish, on Impact, it will be Sanjay Dutt, Petey Williams, Mason Andrews, trying to earn their way into the X Division title match in the near future. We've also been given this announcement, Lindsay.
We have?
In 2 weeks. Along with the World Heavyweight title match, we will have a title tag team title match in 2 weeks between Bobby Roode and Austin Aries against Chavo and Hernandez. And there's a stipulation going around that, well, if Chavo and Hernandez lose, they might no longer be able to team together.
Ooh!
Things are getting interesting.
They are getting interesting, but anyway, back to P. Williams. I am so excited, and apparently Dutton is too, to see Petey Williams back. It's, if you, again, this is another one, if you just started watching TNA, or you never experienced the X Division when it was really in its true heyday, Petey Williams is a sight to see. He is absolutely amazing. He has one of the most innovative finishers in wrestling today. And he really kind of got a little screwed when a epic stable known as Team Canada, which I still have the jersey hanging in my closet, by the way, broke up. And so he really didn't have anything to do, and he kind of became a mini Scott Steiner, which was scary. But he's back now.
He is back now. A little Papa Pump, or whatever he was called, I can't remember at this point, is back.
Yeah, it's absolutely great to see him, because here's the thing, when they said every match for the X Division title is going to be a triple threat, it's like, well, they don't really have any X Division, so who are they going to bring in? And it's really nice to see them bringing in blasts from the past, such as Sanjay Dutt, such as Petey Williams, hopefully Chris Sabin is on his way to recovery, and we'll see him soon.
Possibly. I'm not sure on his recovery. I haven't heard any updates on it because it's his second knee injury in a few years, and yeah, they're hard to come back from.
They are, and he messed it up the last go-round, so hopefully he's on his way to recovery and we will see him again soon, because Chris Sabin really is one of those amazing talents who is just... It's kind of sad the breaks that he's gotten, because he is just... God, he's amazing.
But now, Lindsay, but now, it's main event time.
It is main event time. We have Mr. Anderson Anderson taking on the one, the only Jeff Hardy in a fairly exciting contest.
Really good stuff. Garrett Bischoff suddenly appeared with hammer. Handed to Anderson. Hardy ducked the hammer shot, hit Twist of Fate, picked up the hammer, and then started going off. He started hitting Anderson with the hammer, drawing the disqualification, then hit Bischoff with it, got a chair from under the ring, started hitting Anderson with it. Then he got a table, brought that into the ring, brought a ladder into the ring. Before he was about to go and dive, and it's Bully Ray for the save, pulls Mr. Anderson off the table. And then Jeff Hardy picked up a microphone, Lindsay.
He did. And what I loved about this was Bully Ray said, "You don't put us through tables." Which was great. But, yes, Jeff Hardy picks up a microphone. He climbs up to the top of the TNA ladder. By the way, TNA, you kind of need to update your web address on the side of the ladder. Pointing that out.
We kind of figured you cleaned out the impact zone and you got a whole bunch of letters. Invest in a new,
Sticker. Yeah. I'm sure they didn't think of it at the time, but I'm sure they probably saw it come out on the taping and went, no!
Yeah. If you need a good graphic person, Tim Stein knows some graphic people. He can maybe give you a hookup.
Just send an email to WTRProductions or psychward.com, and we will happily hook you up.
There you go.
Cheap plug. Ding! But yes, so Hardy climbs to the top of the ladder, and he says, "Bully Ray, for the TNA heavyweight title, we're going to have tables! We're going to have ladders! We're going to have chairs! There should have been an oh my, but instead we get stairs!"
Stairs? Okay.
Stairs! I'm trying to do him, and I can't do it.
Stairs?
Stairs.
It's like, stairs! What? Okay, sure.
What? Yeah, it's like, it's just, that's not what you expect from, it's like you're sitting there going, tables, ladders, chairs, oh my, instead of stairs. But anyway, because Jeff Hardy is calling the match, it's going to be a Full Metal Mayhem!
I'm laughing at that for so many reasons. Anyway.
Mayhem. Mayhem, honey. Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Mayhem. I'm like, oh, there's your North Carolina redneck right there.
Anyway, yeah. That's how the show closed. Great show tonight. Really good. Really, really good.
It was a great, great show tonight. It had a wonderful energy. Even though they were a little promo heavy, it was still really, really, really enjoyable because it had a nicer flow to it than it did last week.
Promo heavy, yes. But they were promos where they're calling out people, and the matches really didn't happen. It was a nice twist to open Fight Night.
Right, so I'm excited for next week. I'm excited for several matches, so hopefully they don't disappoint.
Yes, hopefully they don't disappoint. Yes, and we are live every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RecRadioShow.com.
Yes. And PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com. Mm-hmm. We're a lot of places. We get around.
Just like Lita. Anyway.
Broom-ching. But, yeah. So, great show. Wonderful to see. Looking forward to next week. Anything you want to add?
No, that sums it up. But we have something coming up very special that will affect each and every one of you when we come back from the break.
That's right. So when we come back, we've got our Tweet of the Week, we've got our weather report for WrestleMania, and, well, we're interviewing the CEO for Canadian All-Pro, and he's going to tell us all about his upcoming event this Saturday, which, well, he's going to tell you where you can see it soon. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Looking for some wrestle talk?
I wonder how many people we lost to start talking hockey. Four. Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
Oh, what's he doing? Stop. He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. This is me having fun. See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes so you guys can pick up.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He's poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girl's iPod. Go have a Coke and a smile.
starting March 11th, it's 28 days of WrestleMania in ripped form. That's right, leading up to the biggest show of the year, we take a look back at some of the great and not so great moments in WrestleMania's history.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I think without a doubt, probably better. Oh, wow!
Rips in 28 days, celebrating the showcase of the immortal and not so immortal alike.
Sorry, rumors are running rampant that Lesnar is contemplating playing in the National Football League, therefore leaving the WWE. That rumor has made the rounds and probably not excluding that. Shaving Mr. McMahon bald.
Get out of here. Don't do this to me.
You can hear Mr. McMahon screaming over here. Oh, right now.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So relive the memories at wildtalkradio.com/WrestleMania and prepare to have your childhood destroyed, as only we at the Wild Talk Radio Network can destroy it.
Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to De Niro, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 Station.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and brought to you, of course, by MemLanePromo.com. We're also being heard on PW Mania, TNA Asylum, TNA Asylum. So sorry, didn't mean to get the name wrong. And of course, RackRadioShow.com.
Yes.
So check all those sites out because they're all amazing.
They are.
And this, of course, well, let's just go ahead and get the boring stuff out of the way, you know, the not fun stuff before we bring Mr. Stein on. Let's, you know what, I think we need to give the update on the WrestleMania weather report.
Let's do that right now.
And now, your Channel 20 and a WrestleMania weather forecast brought to you by Lita, because it will be raining men.
It's raining men! Hallelujah! It's raining men! Every specimen! Tall, blind, dark, and lean! The fantastic and strong and clean! The best mother nature!
And, well, yeah, that's pretty much the forecast. It's going to be raining men.
Oh, it sure will be.
Holy Jesus, what the hell is that?
What?
There's this, like, I don't even know what it is. What is it? It's a two-headed shark. What the crap is this thing? No, dude, it looks weird.
I don't have any words.
It's like a hammerhead, but it's got a mouth in the middle.
I can't help. I don't know.
Anyway, this is why I should not go to the Weather Channel during the show, because they show pictures of two-headed sharks. And apparently a fish with human teeth.
Yes, yes. So, if you're at WrestleMania, you're going to WrestleMania, prepare for Raining Men.
Yes, it's going to be Raining Men, and possibly water, too. Or it could be snowing. We have no idea. Or not actually giving a real weather report.
Or, you know, you can get a really nice tan.
Yeah, you could. So, you know, again, it could be frosty, or it could be boiling hot. We're not entirely sure. We'll actually give you a real weather report next week when it's possibly confirmed what it's going to do. But for right now, we're just, you know... Everybody out there that's actually, you know, giving a real weather report.
Yeah. It's big news on the interwebs. The weather.
The weather for WrestleMania. What is it going to do? Yeah, and because we're not journalists or anything, we're just, yeah, we're having fun.
Yes, she tells the weather now, and we got something special for the end of the show, too. We're not going to say what it is, but it's something special at the very end of the show.
Yeah, I have to go get it, actually. But... before we do that, I think we need to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right.
You want to go first so I don't steal your tweets?
Yes, you go first.
Oh, I go first this time?
No, I'll go first.
Okay.
So, from Colt Cabana.
Hi, Colt Cabana.
Hi, Colt Cabana. We're breaking the fourth wall. As a Jew, I wouldn't be able to wrestle Jeff Hardy in Full Metal Mayhem.
Happy Passover, everybody.
Happy Passover. And for anybody else that's celebrating it, happy upcoming Easter. And for those of you that don't celebrate Easter or Passover, happy half-priced candy day on Monday.
Yes.
So anyway, all right, what do you got?
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Okay. Robbie E. tweets out a picture basically saying, it will hurt, it will take time, it will require dedication, it will require willpower, and so on and so far. Basically, it's worth it. Joseph Park replies to Robbie E., like our friendship? Robbie E. replies, we don't and never will have a friendship. Joseph Park goes, that's such a thing, best friends say. Robbie E. goes, stop harassing me, dork. Joseph Park replies, man, we are so those guys. You know, the ones who can joke all day. Best friends.
I love Joseph Park. I really do. He's kind of awesome.
We continue. Wade Barrett, great news. Doc just counted and they're both still there. In addition, I'm still the IC champion. Hashtag cheap shots. Hashtag plums. Hashtag more ice.
Oh, Wade Barrett. Is it wrong? I wouldn't respond to that. Pictures or it doesn't count.
Exactly. Heel Ziggler said the following. Big ups to AJ on the W last night, and she didn't even have to bite anyone. AJ replies, well, she didn't have to. Sorry, babe. Not sorry. AJ also tweets, I wear short shorts on TV solely so I can dress as frumpty and asexual as possible in my personal life. Hashtag, is that your grandma, and is that a dude? And finally, from One Trick Stratus, thank you, tonight 11 p.m. Eastern, hashtag chick wrestling talk.
Darn Skippy, thank you, Trish, for tweeting us. We appreciate it, and giving us a hashtag.
Yes.
Hashtag chick wrestling talk given to us by Trish Stratus. That's awesome.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Nope, sure doesn't.
So I guess at this point we need to get in contact with the special guest of the show.
Yeah, and we emphasize special.
Yes. We emphasize special big time on that one. So let's ring him up, and as we do, might as well give the man a proper introduction. Yes, folks, it is the Dirty White Boy himself, the CEO of Canadian All Pro Wrestling, the one, the only, Tim Stein.
So is this the part where I say thanks and it's nice to be on your show?
Yes, this is this is an interview, dude.
Well, thank you very much, and it's nice to be on your rack, Lindsay.
Oh, I'm so happy you're on my rack. Just don't come on it.
There,
Nicely played.
Okay. Yes. Right. Okay. Well, hey, yeah, I just want to say, hey, guys, really good interview with Trish Stratus. That was absolutely fantastic. You know, any time that you want her to open the show for me, that's great. I don't have a problem with that.
You're the main event, Tim.
I am.
Yeah, you're the main event.
Trish Stratus was the curtain jerker for the CEO of Canadian All Pro Wrestling.
You have a big show this weekend, which we'll get into, Tim.
Okay.
We're going to get into that. But me and Lindsay, we sat down. We have some questions for you.
We do.
Yes. I'm scared now.
I'll let Lindsay go first.
How tall are you?
About 5'11" and change.
Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Calgary. I spent 10 years in Ontario, then moved back to Calgary when I was 17.
What actually got you interested in pro wrestling?
Listening to Alan Wojcik interview people. I lied.
No, I want the serious answer. This is an interview, Tim. We're getting the backstory on you.
Well, I grew up watching professional wrestling, and of course with my family background and family ties and such like that, and, you know, one or two people have been known to rib me about this from time to time. But my old man used to run radio and TV stations all over the country. And at one point in time, he was the vice president and general manager of CFCN Radio 1060 right here in Calgary, which is located on the west side of the city on what they call Broadcast Hill. It's called Broadcast Hill or Signal Hill now, specifically because of that radio station. Now, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump from Hart House. Stu Hart used to bring his son Owen to the radio station whenever he would come and visit. And basically, I learned about the Harts that way, and of course also on TV as well, watching Stampede Wrestling on Saturday mornings here in Calgary on local television. And for us, you know, Stampede Wrestling was Calgary. There were two things to do in the city at that point in time. There was Canadian football in the summer, and Stampede Wrestling year-round, every Friday night at the Pavilion. And as I got older, going to the Pavilion to catch the shows on the Friday night, then I tune in on Saturday morning to watch and get the chance to hear Ed Whalen call the play-by-play action and see if I can spot myself in the crowd.
Very nice.
Very, very nice. So, to get a little serious for a second.
Okey-dokey.
You got a big event coming up Saturday.
Yes.
March Mayhem.
Yeah, March Mayhem this Saturday night at the Royal Canadian Legion downtown Calgary. And it's going to be a really, really, really big deal, this show.
Well, I have to know, okay? I can get why everybody in Calgary would want to be there. It's going to be the hot spot. It's going to be the big event. But, well, for people who can't be in Calgary or aren't in Calgary, is there a way for us to see it?
Oh, well, I can't really say that out loud before showtime in case anybody in Calgary is listening and decides not to come instead of actually watching a live internet feed of Stampede Wrestling right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, right on Justin TV.
Well, there is this supposed live internet feed. What's some of the reasons that, say, someone like me, someone in Utah, would want to watch?
Well, you are a bit of a TNA girl, Lindsay. I'm sure you remember a certain individual from Canada who was a part of TNA's Team Canada
And yeah, then, he was on TV tonight. His name was Petey Williams.
No, somebody else. Hang on. Don't be a smartass. And also, after that, he was also a member of the Paparazzi. He is a former TNA X Division champion, Hotshot Johnny Devine, who happens to be the current Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Commonwealth champion. He is actually headlining the show. Well, actually, you know, okay, he headlines every show we do. But he's definitely the reason to tune in.
So,
all right.
Would you consider Johnny Devine to actually be an asset to your company?
Johnny Devine is more than just a great wrestler in the ring. The guy, he's a locker room leader. He is really helping out the younger guys and the up-and-comers in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. I get a chance to watch when I'm doing whatever it is a promoter has to do during the shows. I get when I walk by and he's talking to some of the guys, I hear him offering some tips and tricks and advice to some of these guys. And some of the stuff that he says is just, it just makes so much sense. It's scary.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yes.
So go ahead, Lindsay.
We actually have a question from the chat room. They want to know if you can give an injury update on Johnny Devine. Is he wrestling injured, or is he 100% ready to go for Saturday?
I can't answer that completely, but I can tell you that I have not heard anything from the Hotshot, which tells me, because I know him as well as I do. I've known Hotshot Johnny Devine since, like, 2000, so just about 13 years now. If he was injured and unable to go, he would have let me know, like, long before now. The fact that I haven't heard anything about him being injured or having to work hurt or anything like that leads me to believe that he's as close to 100% as he can get without being actually rated at 100% with a piece of paper that says so on the whole bit.
Okay, well, I guess we'll have to watch and see.
Yes, we will. Tim, you've been known from time to time to have some, you know, big name celebrities of some sort at your shows, right?
Well, there are, you know, local celebrities that do show up that I'm sure that other people around the world may have heard of them.
Like who?
Well, Julie Hart attended our last show, and as of now, she is confirmed to be at this show. We had Smith Hart at our last show. I'm expecting to see Ross Hart and possibly Bruce Hart at this show. Also, we're expecting to see Mark the Shark DiCarlo of Next Generation Wrestling coming to take the action and steal all of my ideas.
Wait, they're known for stealing your stuff?
Oh, there's no theft in wrestling? Come on, everything is original.
Right, whatever you say. So you talk about these local celebrities. There's one that I'm wondering if will be there. Will Jerome Iginla be at this show? Because, you know, he's based in Calgary and, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the problem with that, the weather forecast for Calgary for the next little while is really bad. It's going to be minus 12 here. Thanks for setting me up for that joke, Rock. I appreciate that.
Oh, darn, I feel so bad for you. It's going to be in the 60s here.
Yeah, no, I don't mean minus 12 actual temperature. That was Jerome's sweater number.
Yeah, the big news, everybody. The Flames no longer have talent.
The Flames are doing what they're not calling a rebuild.
Yes. Anyway, let's get back to wrestling.
But okay. He looks so good in a Tux and Tails.
Yes, that's right. He's a penguin. Get over it, Lindsay.
Oh, come on. We have to give you a little crap about that. Just a little bit.
No, you don't.
We can't wait till Sunday. You know this.
Yes, I know. I'm going to hear about it like crazy, and I'll let you know this right now. I am going to be getting in touch with Jerome Iginla and Jay Feaster, the general manager of the Calgary Flames. Craig Conroy, who else? Mike Camilleri, Ken King, and ownership. And give them shit, just because you guys are going to give me a hard time on Sunday.
Sweet!
Yes, it means they won't return your phone calls.
You haven't yet.
He calls every day. Anyway. And twice on Sunday. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Go,
Lindsay.
So really, I kind of want to steer back to a regular interview again a little bit and kind of get a little serious. What prompted you or what made you to decide you wanted to start Canadian All-Pro Wrestling? Because before you had worked in the business, you have your own show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network called Wrestle Talk Radio. But yes. What made you want to start Canadian All-Pro?
Well, I have been around wrestling in Calgary for a good portion of my life, enjoying Stampede Wrestling while it was running in three separate incarnations. At one point in time, I actually got involved with Stampede Wrestling. I was making DVDs for them. And as I was creating these DVDs and doing the play-by-play commentary for the DVDs, I got more into actually what was going on with it. And by this time, I had been doing Wrestle Talk Radio for about 2 years, and internet broadcasting for about 4 or maybe 5 years on top of that. And I've always been interested in wrestling, always. And I can remember sitting around at my friend's place on a Saturday watching Maple Leaf Red 8 Wrestling, or Saturday Morning Superstars or whatever it was called. And we would see the champion promote that he was going to be at this house show. So if you wanted to see him wrestle, spend your $30, brother, and come and see me defend my title, brother. And you never saw a title defense on television back then. Mm-hmm. Everything was geared to get you to go to that house show in Poughkeepsie or Salt Lake City or Philadelphia or Calgary or wherever they were traveling to that week. Mm-hmm. And we would sit around, and I would look at this high school buddy of mine, and I'd tell him, watch, I bet you this guy wins. And he'd say, well, how'd you know that? It's just the way they come out and what happens and who gets more, and I'm just pointing out all of this stuff to him, and I'm starting to realize, hey, wait a minute. I'm understanding things here that he's not. And that was really the genesis, if you will, of my real interest in what goes on behind the curtain. Of course, this was before the quote-unquote supposed death of kayfabe, where wrestling was still real to everybody, damn it. And, so from there, graduating, fast forward 2006 through 2008, I am getting to know these guys who are busting their asses for a payday as low as like $25, $30, $40 for the regular guys, the no names, the new indie wrestlers and such what, up to whatever the bigger names were making. Mm-hmm. And getting to know them as opposed to knowing their characters, it just reinforced everything that I had thought and believed and had come to learn. And from there, I just got interested in how they would do their shows, do the storylines and the angles, and why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? How do they come about coming up with that particular idea? And from there, it just escalated. And, of course, doing Wrestle Talk Radio and, a few other wrestling radio internet webcasts in my time, it just got me to thinking, one day, sitting around, talking to a certain individual that Lindsay.
I do.
Oh, yes, this individual quite well. We were messaging back and forth on Skype. You see, this guy lives in Philadelphia.
Yes. Isn't he just some smart-ass producer who does nothing?
Pretty much, yeah. More or less. We got to talking, and I said to him, it just got to a point of, all of these people on the internet don't have a freaking clue what they're talking about when it comes to professional wrestling, whether it's WWE, TNA, what was going on in WCW, or the indie scene. You got these guys on that website bitching and complaining because the guy that they're in love with didn't get the push they think he deserves, and yada, yada, yada. And I'm thinking, that's not what it's all about, brother. I think that it wouldn't be a bad idea if I tried to start up a wrestling company and see if I could do it right. And so from there, that's when, that was when the ball first started rolling, if you will. And it basically snowballed. The next thing you know, I found somebody who was so interested and believed in my vision so much that he helped me get this thing off the ground. And I brought in a guy who used to run a an independent professional wrestling company here in Alberta called Can-Am Wrestling. And I, admittedly, I knew nothing about how to go about being a promoter.
Right.
So I paid attention to what this guy did and what he wasn't doing, and I started paying intense attention to what other independent promotions were doing. And from there, I just gathered all of this stuff, took a look at it, and I'm thinking, this is a good idea, that's a bad idea, this is a good idea, that should be done, that shouldn't be done, stay away from here, do stuff like that. And it just snowballed. Our very first show, as a matter of fact, was November the 5th, 2011, here in Calgary. And it was called Onslaughts.
Interesting.
You're talking a lot about the promotion and, you know, all the ups and downs. What do you think was the biggest mistake you've made with the promotion so far?
Not paying attention to where we were holding our shows. We would have absolutely packed houses. When we were running Canadian All Pro Wrestling at a place in Southeast Calgary, it's a bar, and so anybody under 18 couldn't go there. Which, you know, that's fine. You do a bar show and you can get a little rowdier, you can get a little naughtier, you can get a little more aggressive, you can say words that you shouldn't say in front of the kids who are under 18 and all this other stuff. And so it can make for a different atmosphere. The only problem is the place was a closet. When I say it was packed, we were able to cram like 100 people in there. And if you're getting 100 people showing up paying $20 at the door to see a wrestling show that won't cover your bills, you've got a problem. And that's the problem that we fixed. And that's why we took a bit of a hiatus over the summertime. I was reorganizing, replanning, and everything else like that. And there's nothing wrong with making a mistake. Now, this is something that I'm going to tell you guys and everybody listening. Don't be afraid of failure. And do not let mistakes scare you. See, making a mistake is where wisdom comes from if you're capable of learning from your mistake.
Right.
If you're afraid to fail, you will never succeed because you will never try.
Hey, you know what? I'm a firm believer if you're going to fail, do it in spectacular fashion.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, some of the biggest pieces of advice I could give anybody, especially my son. That's the one thing that I tell him. Don't try to be the best. Just do your best and don't be afraid to fail. Because if you fall down, all you got to do is pick yourself back up.
Right. You know, so basing off the mistake, what do you think the biggest change or the most significant change is that you've made to the product since day one? Because obviously the people that have watched it from day one have seen it evolve. But say, you know, there's somebody like us who we've seen a couple of your shows, but for the listeners out there who maybe are going to watch it for the first time and they're seeing it as it is now, how is it different from when it first started?
Well,
other than the building.
That's pretty much the only change we made. We secured a deal with one of the legions in town here, the Royal Canadian Legion, which is, you know, the same idea as the American Legion. It's a nice place. It's licensed. The kids can come in, however. What's really good about this place that we have, it's an intimate place, but we can get up to 300 people in there if we cram them. So... the gate receipts are able to cover the costs associated with putting on a show. Plus the deal that I was able to secure with them really helped out the pocketbook. As far as what did we change, really, we stayed the course. As far as the original idea and the original plan was, our first two hall shows, community shows, they were really good. They just lacked attendance. And they lacked attendance because, again, it's a failure on the promoter's part, yes, yours truly, of getting enough of the word out there. But that's not the only reason. The other thing is, people love being controlled by inertia.
Mm-hmm.
An object at rest will stay at rest. An object in motion will stay at motion. And it takes a little while for somebody to be convinced to go to see a wrestling show after they've talked about it and think, well, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't go. Finally, they go. And once they go, they're hooked. We at Canadian All Pro Wrestling tried to incorporate some of the new age ideas with old school wrestling. You're not going to get a whole bunch of high flying spot monkeying around. I've heard that term bandied about left, right, and center. you're not going to get somebody who's chopping his opponent 5 million times and his opponent's not, you know, selling it, if you will. The guys who get beat up are beat up. That, you know, that's all there is to it. It's, I don't know, it's like bringing believability back to professional wrestling.
So basically you're not going to have a guy climb 25 feet in the air and do a moonsault.
There's no call for that 9 times out of 10, other than to pop the crowd. But if you keep doing things like that, you're going to burn your crowd out.
But the question... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you burn out your crowd, then they're going to, you know, it's overload. It's just going to be too much.
And they're not going to use 8 super kicks either?
No.
As Mason Arturo says, need more super kicks.
Need more super kicks. Well, that's an Australian...
You're welcome, Ace.
Yeah, that's an Australian indie wrestler for you. Of course, he wants us to do a bitch tits chant every time we see Steven Styles.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to kind of start to wrap things up here, but we actually want you to stay on with us because we've got one more discussion we want to do, and then we have a special segment.
Oh, no.
But, yeah.
So, this Saturday is quite possibly the biggest event in the promotion's history. Are you excited for it?
It's a case of being, you know, like nervous, but in like the good kind of nervous. You're anticipating something that you're expecting to be absolutely far and above and beyond your great expectations for it. And as good as I'm expecting it to be, I'm expecting it to be bigger than what I'm expecting it to be. If that makes any sense at all.
Yes, totally understand that.
Okay, yeah, I know. Based on feedback, ticket sales, people calling and texting at all hours of the bloody day for tickets and availability, and is it an all-ages show? I do believe that we're going to be standing room only at the Legion this Saturday night.
That's fantastic. So are there tickets left?
Yes, there are still a few select tickets available. Now, if we go over what we can comfortably seat in there, there's no problems at all with us making extra space. As a matter of fact, plans are already in place to move the commissioner table, actually right beside the ring, off of the stage at the Legion. There's an elevated stage just right across, like right in front of the dance floor, that the ring gets set onto. On this elevated stage, it's deep enough, we can actually put 4 rows of seats with an aisle right down the middle.
Very nice. Now, Tim, I need you to do something for me.
Okay, what?
Give us the hard sell for Saturday.
The hard sell for Saturday?
Mm-hmm. Why should we tune in? Why should people in Calgary go to this show? Tell us why.
Okay, do you want me to do it like a radio commercial here?
Yeah, it's a hard sell. Go ahead.
Okay, there you go. Everybody, make sure that you come on down to the Royal Canadian Legion number 1, located at 116 7th Avenue, Southeast Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Catch Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Hotshot Johnny Devine in the main event. He will be defending his Commonwealth title in a 6-man tag match. That's right. Whoever scores the pinfall wins the Commonwealth title. Also in action, we've got Steven Styles, Katana, Keishi Matsunaga, Ryan Strife, and more. We've also got one hell of an off-the-hook, no-holds-barred hardcore match coming your way this Saturday night. And the ticket prices are unbelievably fair. $12 advance, only $15 at the door. Kids 6 to 12, $10. If you're a school student, if you're going to college, if you're going to university, and you have school ID, admission only $10.
Since he can't say it, I'll say it right here at 9 p.m. Eastern this Saturday, wildtalkradio.com. Watch it. Free!
Yeah, there watch it. If you can't go, or you can't get tickets, or whatever, come watch it on wildtalkradio.com. We're all going to be here, all the hosts, we'll be watching it, so... We'll be providing our special commentary for it.
Wait, yeah, that scares the living tar out of me. But that being said, there's also something really, really, really big happening Saturday night, and this could mean nothing but absolute glory for Canadian All Pro Wrestling. We have a local, local meaning provincial, which is the Canadian version of a state for you American listeners who don't know anything about Canada.
Gee, thanks.
Well, there are a few. There are, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it happens. Anyway, that being said, Shaw TV is actually coming in to cover the event Saturday night. And that means Canadian All-Pro Wrestling will be featured on a program called City Vibes that will be seen all over the province of Alberta. Which means people in Grand Prairie will see Canadian All Pro Wrestling and say, hey, you know what? We should get them to come and do a show all the way up here, and we'll you know, like, provide them with money and stuff. And I'll say, absolutely.
Yes, just everybody out there, give Tim Stein lots of money and give us lots of money. You can make your checks out, too, and send them care of...
Just hit the donate button on the website. Anyway.
Yeah, just hit the donate button on the website. So, we're going to go ahead. We're going to wrap this up.
Well,
but
can I answer that question?
Yes, you can.
From the chat room, I guess it's pronounced detonized, is curious as to how I know Jack Evans. I've known Jackie Evans since he was wrestling ECCW in Vancouver, Surrey, Abbotsford, you know, that general area. I met him a few times. He would come in and work Stampede Wrestling here and there. As well. And he's a great guy. He's absolutely fantastic. And yes, at some point in time, we will swing a deal to bring Jack Evans into Canadian All Pro Wrestling as soon as we can. As a matter of fact, I had a quick little conversation with Jackie Evans during Next Generation Wrestling's last event. When was that? February something or other.
Yes.
Yeah. And we had a good conversation, and he didn't know that I was running a wrestling show, and so he was pretty impressed with that. And we got to talking, and we have made tentative plans to make tentative plans to bring him to Canadian All Pro Wrestling.
Do we have one other chat room question?
Yes.
Paper or plastic?
That's weird. Paper's recyclable.
So there you go.
Yeah,
there
and,
you go.
And I hate paying an extra 5 cents for a plastic bag.
So, all right, well, there you have it, Tim Stein. Check out Canadian All-Pro Wrestling this weekend. It's going to be live right here on wildtalkradio.com. If you're not going to be able to go, if you are in Calgary, go to the show. Go buy tickets. Go make him money.
Yes, he needs the money.
He needs the money because then he might pay us.
I know, right?
Well, here's the thing. I would like people to come and get the ball caps that we have made that say Canadian All-Pro Wrestling on them. Buy the T-shirts that we have that say Canadian All-Pro Wrestling on them. You see, buy tickets and come to see the show because proceeds go to a very worthy cause to pay our wrestlers. And nobody on the network.
To pay our server bills. Anyway.
Anyway.
Hey, whoa, wait a second. I'm the one who pays your server bills. Quit ditching.
We're saying that's why I get, you know, people.
Yeah,
that's why they need to go and buy the tickets. You can pay the server bill.
Have I asked you for $10 yet?
No. Anyway.
Well, here you go.
So, wherever you are, if you're not in Calgary, you can watch it on wildtalkradio.com as we said multiple times, even if you're laid up with an injury, you can watch it live right here on wildtalkradio.com.
That's right. But now we're going to move on to our question of the night, which is as follows. What's your favorite WrestleMania set?
So we start with you, Tim. What is your favorite WrestleMania set?
I don't pay attention to the sets.
Such a buzzkill.
Then what good are you?
I don't really pay attention to sets, but I'll tell you the one that did stick in my brain.
That's what we want.
WrestleMania Goes Hollywood.
That's a good one.
That was a cool one.
I love the entire thing about WrestleMania goes Hollywood, dude.
Okay.
And Dudette.
Dudette, yeah.
The parody movie commercials were the funniest damn things WWE has ever done.
I would agree.
Take her in a sweater vest. Totally awesome.
Yeah, so if you have any in chat room, post them now. We have some on Facebook. They go as follows: WrestleMania 19 or WrestleMania 24. We got one for WrestleMania 17, a WrestleMania 9 with the togas. A couple for the togas, actually. So, yeah. The people talk about how Heenan was coming out on backwards on the elephant. Yeah, so there. What do you think, Lindsay?
I've always been partial to WrestleMania 20.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked how they did the city with the LED screens, and they could alter it. Like, when Kane came out, the city looked like it was burning. It was, I thought that was really creative and really well done. I'm also partial to 27, just because, again, as if I haven't said it enough, I was there. And you don't have an appreciation for how big the WrestleMania sets are until you see them in person. And you see how just absolutely grand and huge they are. So, and also, I really liked it because I thought it was really well done. It was nice and clean and cool looking, and it had a dome and everything. But anyway, yeah, so 20 and 27 are May favorites. What about you, Rock?
Before I get to my May screams, WrestleMania 3, mini ring cards.
We know, Mace. We know.
I would go with, I liked WrestleMania 24. I believe it was in Orlando with the big hotel-looking thing, which I thought was really neat with the neon colors. I thought it was really good. 25 mm-hmm. was good. It was big and elaborate. I thought that was good. Those are my two favorites.
Yeah, I'll agree. WrestleMania 28 was a little bummer. They went simple with the stage, but they went really elaborate with the tent. Although our very own Will McConnell curses palm trees every day now because of it.
Can't see you with a palm tree in front of you. Anyway.
Yeah, ginormous palm tree in front of you. So, yeah. So, that is our question of the night, and that really kind of kicks off the WrestleMania week for us. Next week, we'll be talking all about the show. We'll still have our standard segments, but next week, we will be doing a full in-depth review of WrestleMania, so stay tuned for that.
Yes.
But now it's time for our special segment.
Yes, and it has no little bumper thing. Hey, anyway, go ahead.
I was hoping you would at least have music. You could at least pull music.
All right, fine. Go ahead and talk.
Da 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 da. Special segment.
And see? Clip.
Yeah, dude.
Well, at least Omega's not alone anymore.
You walked right into that one, Tim.
Yeah, no, I kind of did it on purpose.
So, the special segment, because we were really, really bored when we came up with this, is Ask the Magic 8-Ball. Because I actually have my Magic 8-Ball here, and this is what happens when we do show prep really late at night.
Yes, let's call that show prep.
So, somebody in the chat room, pose a yes or no question that you would like the Magic 8-Ball to be asked.
Yes, so I'll ask one.
Do I hear the tone in the background?
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's what you wanted before. Anyway, will Tim Stein sell out the show this Saturday?
All right, let's see. Can everybody hear it?
Yes, I hear it.
Will Tim Stein sell out his show on Saturday? Signs point to yes.
Woo!
Tommy in the chat room asks, will Lindsay marry Wes Briscoe?
Will I marry Wes Briscoe?
She's taking a while.
Ask Ben later.
Will Rock marry Pat Patterson?
All right. Will Rock marry Pat Patterson? It is certain.
So The Rock will marry Pat Patterson.
There you go. I didn't say The Rock. I said Rock. Nice try.
So So, yeah, so that is our stupid little closing segment for the evening, which is Ask the Magic 8-Ball. We're not going to do it every week. It's just we thought it would be funny to close the show with.
And it was.
All right, we'll do Duttonized, and then that's it. So, will Teddy Hart show up randomly and do a 30,000-foot moonsault onto Tim Stein?
We're anticipating this. Come on now. Make it happen.
Yes. So get your crash mats, Tim. So yeah, so that, again, Ask the Magic 8-Ball. We're not going to do it every week, but yeah, so this was just something stupid that we're like, oh yeah, let's close the show with it. So on that note, we are going to go ahead and wrap up because it's obviously very late for some people. So one more time, Tim, show your stuff.
Canadian All-Pro Wrestling live, Royal Canadian Legion, 116 7th Avenue Southeast, Calgary, Alberta. Park the car and take the train. It's right on the LRT tracks. Tickets at the door, only $15.
All right. O'Rock, go.
I have one question, though, for Tim.
Okay.
Tim, are you ready?
For a question from you, never, but go ahead.
Does this sound like I'm hanging up on you? And there you go. That was Tim Stein, everybody, here on the right.
There. Really?
Yep. Had to. Anyway, tomorrow night, Mace plays video games around 8 p.m. Eastern. I don't know what he's playing, but he's going to be playing some video games. Saturday night, midnight, is at CB Radio with myself, Subway, and Rob Parks. Weird, wacky, it's the unusual. Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio with Tim Stein, Omega, and Mace. They'll preview WrestleMania. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover the final Raw before WrestleMania. Tuesday night, Alan Wojcik has KFA Wrestling Radio on their show. It will be featuring Bobby Lashley, Bad Influence, and the Warlord. Check it out, 9 p.m. Eastern. Apparently, Mace has no idea what he's playing either. So, it's going to be random. Tune in for Mace.
WWE 13, do I get my special match?
You should save that for WrestleMania week, because, you know, it's WrestleMania week next week. Wednesday night, Jaeger is just another goddamn wrestling show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. They're going to preview WrestleMania, just like we will be on the rack next Thursday night, Lindsay.
That's right. Like I said, next week we are going to be talking all about WrestleMania because that's going to be the big news. We will be talking about TNA Impact. But expect our show to be very WWE heavy next week. I'm warning everybody now. We do switch back and forth. But obviously this is WWE's week coming up, so we will be talking about it. But as always, please tune into the show. Listen to the archives. If you missed our interview with Trish Stratus, please listen to it tomorrow. We'll get it out there. It's going to be, we're going to broadcast it everywhere, blast it everywhere. But also just listen to every other show we do because we have a lot of fun. Listen to all of the other shows on this network because we all work very hard. But visit my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. Check out my DeviantArt, lindsward.deviantart.com. And of course, follow me on Twitter at lindsward. Follow the show, WTR_rack. And go to RackRadioshow.com.
Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Now we're go to CanadianAlpire.com. Buy the tickets, buy the shirts, buy the hats that Tim and I was talking about. WTRProtections.net. This has been another edition of The Rack presented by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. Thanks to the people at TNAsilo.com as well. The haven for TNA fans. Lindsay.
Yes, so big thanks to Trish Stratus, my girl crush. One day I want to hang out with you for reals. Big thank you to Tim Stein. Best of luck on your show this weekend. I'm so looking forward to seeing it. And they'll probably be talking all about it Sunday, so tune in for that if you don't get a chance. And for Rock, of course, I am Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.